The following is an evening conversation with His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on March 14, 1992, in the South Trinidad Temple.
Rajarshi Prabhu suggested I could speak on something of interest to both the members who live in the temple as well as the members who are part of the congregation of the temple. So I'll speak about the practices of Krishna consciousness, which we call sadhana, and I will base it on some of the discussions with quotes by Srila Prabhupada in the book that I compiled, Vaishnava Behavior. Sadhana means practice. As with anything in the world, if you want to be good at it, you have to practice. You want to be a musician or an athlete, you have to practice. It just doesn't come automatically. So, similarly, for this most important thing, to develop devotional service or love of God, love of Krishna, there's a prescribed practices. So these are called in Sanskrit sadhana. One important practice is that we should live with devotees in some kind of association with them. It was for this reason that when Prabhupada came to the West to bring Krishna consciousness, he formed a society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because of the potency of being with other people who are practicing Krishna consciousness. It's obvious how this will be helpful. And those, for example, who are practicing Krishna consciousness, if sometimes they have to be away from all association of devotees, that creates a very painful situation. If there are no devotees at all. Ramananda Rai, speaking with Lord Chaitanya, said, that's like living in a cage surrounded by fire. I cannot conceive of a greater unhappiness. Not to be near anybody with whom I can talk about Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. Now, because we can't live alone, completely alone like a hermit, and then the alternative is to associate with non-devotees. And when we do that, we start to pick up their habits, their ways of speaking and talking, and their other habits which are opposed to devotional service. So living with devotees may mean living in the temple, or it may mean that you and your family, you create a little society of your own, and also you have friends whom you stay in touch with. You come to the temple, associate with the devotees there, and other friends of yours with whom you can talk about Krishna. Much chitta mat patagana bodhyantak parasparam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, how my devotees, they like to get together and converse about me, and they derive much pleasure in doing so. To be realistic, also, we have to admit that sometimes when we try to live with devotees, there are problems. Ideally, or in the spiritual world, there's no quarreling or fighting among devotees or any disappointments. But in this world, because devotees still have conditioning from the past, and we're in the material world in Kali Yuga, there may be Even in the society of devotees, inconveniences and disagreements and so on. But this should not make us try to avoid the association of devotees, because that will not improve the situation. Rather, we should try to improve the quality of association with devotees. For one thing, among all the devotees, you can try to select those who are like-minded friends and especially associate with them intimately. But also, we should honor anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna and trying to be a devotee of Krishna. In one letter I'll read from, Prabhupada wrote to a devotee who actually left all association with Krishna because she had some quarrel with devotees and was disappointed in their behavior. So Prabhupada wrote to her, "Just because somebody has made some mistakes does not mean that you should give up your whole career in Krishna consciousness. What will that accomplish? Simply more rebirth and death. The fact that you have left our movement just on account of some minor disagreements shows that you are not actually serious about going home back to Godhead. I suggest that you become serious about spiritual life and try to overlook the minor offenses of others." So I'm going to mention a number of topics, and then I'll try to leave some time before the Artik for any questions and discussions. So we begin with by mentioning that whatever the sadhana practice is, it should be done in association of other devotees. That makes it more encouraging. Now, as Prabhupada provided everything for us, he also gave us a daily program in which we could put the main elements of sadhana. And this should be done throughout the day, but he particularly emphasized that our morning hours should be free of other activities and reserved for an intense program of sadhana. And for those who are practicing this, they would never give this up. It is such a wonderful thing. And we call this the morning program. If one doesn't live in the temple, he can find out what the morning program is just by trying to attend one morning, see what the devotees do, or hear from them anyway. And then you can also, with some adjustment, do a morning program in your house. It may be because of your work or your family responsibilities that you cannot get up quite as early as the devotees do. But still, the principles that I will mention, they can be done in the temple or outside. But in the temple, those who live in the temple, who voluntarily come and give their services to live here, it's compulsory that we all take part in this morning program. Prabhupada wrote in one letter, "All the temple members, without exception, must rise by 4 a.m. and attend Mangal Arati. Everyone living in the temple must agree to the standard by proper understanding of the philosophy of tapasya. We cannot expect our guests to follow all our principles, but whoever lives in the temple must follow." Now, in the morning program, the most important thing, and it's also true of sadhana in general, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds on the beads or japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Hmm. those who may just be beginning do not chant 16 rounds, but this, if you are serious about Krishna consciousness, you try to build up a quota and come to this daily minimum. And this, when we take initiation, we vow to keep this daily minimum of 16 rounds. So it takes about 2 or 3 hours a day. And the inability to do this by a devotee who has agreed to do it should be considered a major kind of spiritual disease. So Chanaka Pandit says, three things, when they happen, you should act on them right away. Fire, disease, and debt. So the spiritual disease of not chanting rounds should be worked on. The great Namacharya, or the teacher of the holy name, during Lord Chaitanya's advent, was Haridas Thakur. He chanted 300,000 names a day. When he was very old, near the end of his life, he couldn't do so many rounds. Actually, he had to be chanting vigorously all day long and night to finish those rounds. So he'd grow feeble and old in his body. He couldn't chant so much. So he wasn't even able to eat, and he was lying down. Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, what is the matter? Do you know what your disease is? And Haridas said, my disease is that I cannot finish my quota of rounds. So that's where that's an expression of how the not chanting can be considered a disease. Prabhupada says, all initiated devotees must chant at least 16 rounds daily without fail. Now that they are initiated, there is no question of not doing their rounds. In court, when a person swears to tell the truth, he can be punished by perjury if he does not take it seriously and tells a lie. So those who promise before the deity to follow the rules and regulations of initiated disciples will be punished if they fail to do so. Of course, the main punishment will be we'll punish ourselves and miss out in this great opportunity of human life to come to taste the sweet nectar of Krishna's holy names and Krishna's pastimes, which can only be done by this process. Hari nama, hari nama, hari nama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva 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 garanyata. Now there are so many excuses or reasons for failure, and we can point out how these are foolish, but it's up to a person in one's own life to see that these excuses should be overcome, and we should come to the standard of chanting. Sometimes people ask, why this particular quota? What's so important about 16? Some days I chant a lot, some days I may be too busy, I don't chant. I don't see why it's so important. Why not 10 rounds or 20 rounds? So this 16 was given after serious consideration by the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actually, his spiritual master required the disciples chant how many rounds? 64. So, Srila Prabhupada, he came to the West and he saw, oh, these Western people are so restless and they're so busy and they don't have much spiritual concentration. They can't chant 64 rounds a day. Then he thought and met with devotees and saw what they were capable of doing, and he decided, you must do at least 16 and don't fail to do that. So we should honor this calculation and this instruction by our founder Acharya. It's not a whimsical number that can be reduced by individuals or even by those who are spiritual masters in the cyclic succession. Prabhupada says in one letter, the injunction is Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should always be chanting all day. The 16 rounds is just a minimum I set for my disciples so that they would chant at least that much. you want to do, if you don't like 16, and you want to do 25, that's very nice. So the 16 means don't go below that. Looking at letters, there's a nice, I'll read an excerpt from a nice letter where Prabhupada encourages devotees to chant as much as they like and as much as possible. This letter was, Prabhupada wrote to some devotees in Japan. After he first visited there, some young Japanese people, they began to chant, and they wrote to Prabhupada that they were experiencing joy while chanting the Maha Mantra. So that encouraged Prabhupada to hear that. And he wrote back with some ecstatic advice that they should chant all the time if they felt this joy. He says, "Please continue to chant this mantra as many times as possible throughout the day and night. I do not think there's any inconvenience or loss on your part. If you do so all the time, even when you are walking, you can softly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or even when you're on the bus going to somewhere, you can also chant. When you are working with your hands, you can also chant. And when you are resting or going to take rest, you can also chant. Even in your toilet room while taking bath, you can chant. In this way, there is no limitation or restriction for chanting this holy name of God, Krishna, and his energy, Hara. In doing this business, there is no loss, but there is a very great gain, which is transcendental realization." Sometimes an excuse is given for not chanting 16 rounds, that I'm doing so much other service for Krishna, and this service must be done, and it's very important, so I don't think there's anything wrong if I don't chant because I'm doing some other service. But Prabhupada says, among all our duties, we must never forget to complete our 16 rounds. We should not be carried away simply by the Krishna duties, which are also regarded as good as chanting. But in all circumstances, we shall not forget this duty. So Prabhupada acknowledges that other things are also as good as chanting, as sweeping the floor, or making money for Krishna, selling a book, cooking. Anything that you do, it's all absolute. But don't get carried away, he says, by all these other duties, and neglect this duty. In fact, if it gets down to a final decision of what's to be done, then, he says, one may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regular principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. Thought just passed through my mind to ask people, I was going to ask you, how many didn't chant their rounds? But I don't like to do that kind of thing. And some people won't raise their hands anyway. But we can just do it mentally anyway. I'll just do it mentally, not for a show of hands. But we can just think now, but near the end of the day, if you haven't said them yet, no one, you'll say them. So you have to think, how many have not chanted their 16 rounds today? If that happens, then that should rarely happen because of some particular emergency work. Then you have to make it up the next day, not the next year. But then the next day, you cannot eat until you chant, and then you'll find some time. So the morning program, I'm not following the morning program by schedule, which is first Mangalarti, but by importance, which is first chanting. But morning program means to rise early whether at home or in the temple, and begin chanting. And then in the temple there's always some kind of Mangalarti for deity worship. In your home you can also, if possible, have an altar with pictures or deity, and come before that and chant and sing kirtan. We shouldn't be puffed up just because we do this morning program. And also, it's not enough to simply go through the motions to bring your body to the temple, or to get up early in itself is good. But you actually have to participate with your mind and attention. 16 rounds of inattentive chanting is offensive. And you will not attain love of God by such chanting, no matter how long you do it. So whether it's chanting or other things in the morning program, we have to keep bringing our mind to pay attention and to pray to Krishna that we do it nicely. Now, a very important part of this morning program is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the scripture, the spotless Purana. In the ISKCON temple, we do that by a regular method. We have the verse in Sanskrit and we chant, and what somebody speaks it thoroughly, he speaks one of Prabhupada's purports like that. So similarly, if you cannot come to the morning temple program, in your home, before you go to work, some time should be spent before the mind gets too agitated and all these radios start up and the cars start up and the passion starts up. Before all that makes it very difficult and your mind is peaceful, you concentrate on hearing at least a verse and a purport of Srimad Bhagavatam and do some reading. This movement is not sentimental or just performing a ritual. It's philosophy and explanation of Krishna's teachings and pastimes, and for this we have Srimad Bhagavatam. This is such a nice thing, these basic sadhana practices by which anybody in any part of the world, if he has Prabhupada's books, and if he has beads, and if he has the chanting, if he knows the chanting of Hare Krishna, and if he has some association with devotees, then that person can be saved from the sinful effects of this age. There are more elements to sadhana, but this chanting and hearing is the basic thing, and as we said, the morning is the best time to perform it. However, if you perform it starting early, as he says, by 4 a.m., then by breakfast time, or 9 o'clock or so, you will probably have finished almost all your rounds and you will have read Srimad Bhagavatam. So then what do you do for the rest of the day to stay Krishna conscious? This also must be considered part of sadhana. And so for that, we can consider that whatever we do should be a kind of engagement in devotional service. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat yahosi, didasi, yat. Yat tapasyasi, kurushva, madarpana. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever charity you give, or whatever offering you make, or food that you eat, whatever work you do, austerity, do it as an offering for me. Now this is a big chunk of time in the day. It's like the whole day after the morning. Now, the morning program we can all do together in the temple in the same way, at the same time. We go to Mangalarti at the same time. We chant the same mantra. We read the same verse and purport. But when we spend our day, then we tend to go in different places. A mother takes care of her children, or the children go to school, and the men go to work, and they have different things that they work at. But each person has to find a service to do for Krishna. the work that we have to do for Krishna to earn a, or say the work that we have to do to earn a living in this world, that should not be in conflict with the principle that we should engage ourselves in Krishna's service all day long. This requires guidance, and it's an art how to work for Krishna, as Arjuna did. Arjuna wasn't a priest performing puja in a temple. He was a warrior on the battlefield. But under Krishna's direction, he learned how to fight for Krishna. We have to do work that's authorized by Krishna and guided by the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas. The principle is that the fruit of your work or the result should be given to Krishna. That result may be a talent, some kind of something that you do, like you paint a picture for Krishna, or you write a book, or you teach children, but you teach them about Krishna. Or the money that you make, some of it should be used for spreading Krishna consciousness. And the work should not be something that is directly opposed to the principles of Krishna consciousness. Also, as we mentioned about the morning program, that when you chant Hare Krishna, you should be attentive, your mind should be there. So when we work during the day, if actually we're thinking of Krishna and thinking, Krishna, I must work to earn my living, but I want to work for you. Please teach me how I can think of you during the day and how I can offer all my activities as devotional service. And Krishna will help you. Because sometimes it's hard to see the relationship between the work we have to do and how is this going to be an offering to Krishna. When I offer Krishna the light and the chamra and the fan, I offer him the food, or when I sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I understand that is pleasing to Krishna. But how, when I'm working, is that an offering to Krishna? That has to be done by devotion to the Lord, and for that we need instruction and guidance, so that we're working at something that is actually acceptable as service by Krishna. And now I'll make just one final point, and that is that while, if we agree to try to do sadhana, to try to, in the morning and throughout the day, do Krishna conscious practice, then at the same time that we're doing that, we cannot engage in sinful activities. Otherwise, that is counterproductive, like trying to build a fire and throwing water on it at the same time. So there are four basic pillars of sin that hold up the roof of sin for life. Intoxication, meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex. So we want to pull these pillars out and the house of sin will be finished, crash. Then we can build the house of bhakti. There's one of the offenses in chanting, the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. It means if somebody deliberately breaks some of those principles, takes some intoxication or engages in illicit sex, and also thinks, I'll go on committing this sin, but I'll continue to chant Hare Krishna also, because the chanting will free me from bad karma. This is very offensive. To use the chanting to clear away your sin with the intention of doing the sin regularly. You cannot make advancement in chanting by that method. So, for sadhana to be effective, we also have to give up sinful activities. In the modern age is so atheistic that people don't even agree that there is such a thing as sin. They say, oh, what is sin anyway? I don't believe in sin. But sin means to disobey the order of God, the laws of God. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat panita. Krishna has given so many instructions for humankind, and when we defy him, this is the greatest sin. It may take the shape of intoxication or illicit sex as a particular sin, but the real sin is we defy the law of God. I don't care what Krishna says or what scripture says. I will do what I like, and so on. We're living in a very sinful age in which the things that are actually sinful are considered normal. So we shouldn't judge actually what is normal by what people are doing. It's very normal to slaughter animals and to eat meat. It's perfectly normal in society. Not only normal, but if you don't do it, you're considered odd to drink liquor and smoke cigarettes and other kinds of drugs. It's normal and it's legal and it's acceptable. But that doesn't make it free of sin. It is still sin. So society is sinful and we should not conform with that society. We have to be in our own Krishna-conscious society. Therefore, it's very wonderful that we're able to become free of this. Prabhupada writes about this. He says that he didn't actually expect the Krishna-consciousness movement would have as much success as it did have, or does have. Speaking of America, he says, in a country where everyone is trained from childhood to indulge in sinful activities, who will accept such restrictions? No meat, fish and eggs, no intoxicants, no gambling, and no illicit sex. These things are the life and soul of the Western people. And I never imagined that even one person would accept it. But by the mercy of my spiritual master and Krishna, the thing has taken shape. Okay. So Prabhupada was very pleased and amazed at Krishna's mercy that so many devotees have taken to this. But also Prabhupada experienced that devotees would relapse and fall back into these bad habits. So we have to constantly work at our sadhana. By doing sadhana, in the morning especially, we get the strength so that as we do our other activities in the day, we don't get tempted by sinful activities. And then the next morning we begin again and build up that strength and resist again another day of Kali Yuga, Maya. Build up our strength every day. Hare Krishna. So, I've saved some time for any discussion that you might have, any questions about these topics, about how to practice sadhana, morning program, chanting, Bhagavatam, and so on. Does it sound too difficult? Anyone have any doubts or questions? Yes.
What if a devotee doesn't chant, things like that, the regular devotional service, but substantiate?
Well, I touched on that and said that that's a false idea, that I don't have to chant my prescribed rounds of chanting Hare Krishna because I do other service. Prabhupada says, of all the activities, the chanting is the most important, and so we should do that first. So I think I already covered that. If we think like that, or if somebody thinks like that, they should be corrected in that thinking. It's not... The agreement to chant is not covered by doing something else instead. One time in a room of devotees, Prabhupada did ask that question that I said I wouldn't ask. He said, is everyone chanting their rounds? And one devotee was honest enough to raise her hand and say, no, I'm not. She said, why not? And she said that the temple leaders said, I don't have to chant my rounds as long as I work for Krishna. So he said, oh, this is not a good instruction. And then I forget what she said, that she was working so hard. And Prabhupada said, well then, sleep less. So, he doesn't mean that we should actually sleep less. Of course, if we're sleeping 8 or 10 hours, then you can sleep less. But if you're already sleeping as much as you need, what he really means is, don't make an excuse and say why you can't chant. Rearrange your schedule so that that there is time to chant, as well as do the other things. Everyone can do it, they just have to look at the 24 hours a day. You can literally do that. Get a piece of paper and make a schedule. And when you can make a schedule now of what you're already doing, and then look at it and say, oh, there's no time for chanting. Then something is wrong. I have to make a new schedule. Then you have to revise your present, change the priorities. There may be things that, obviously, if you're not chanting 16 rounds and you're doing other things, it's because you have placed some priorities as more important than chanting. But you have to really think hard and say, well, actually, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I have faith in Prabhupada and Krishna that I have to give those 2 or 3 hours, whatever it takes me, to chanting, so I just got to put it in my day. As he says, oh, if it means that, I'll sleep less, or I won't do that thing that I like to do. I won't watch video. I won't waste time talking to that nonsense person. I won't, whatever it is. And even if it's not nonsense thing, but it's something that you think is important work, making money or working in the garden or whatever it is you're doing, it's not that can be done like, and then the chanting is not done. We don't say it's easy. It's a great fight. And Prabhupada, writing in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, says that Krishna realized that Arjuna had to stay on the battlefield, which is the worst place for spiritual development. And he didn't advise him to leave. Prabhupada says, the Lord never advises anything impractical. But he gave a method where one could maintain Krishna consciousness even in adverse situation. And then Prabhupada writes, unless we can remember Krishna while engaged in the struggle for existence, then how will it be possible for us to remember Krishna at the time of death, which is the most difficult? So he seems to say that if we can learn this art of being Krishna conscious even in an unfavorable environment, then we'll be tough, and in a good sense we'll be well trained for that worst time, because the time of death is filled with usually so much pain and inconvenience, it's not a good time to think of Krishna. But if you've been practiced throughout your life to think of Krishna in every circumstance, then you'll be able to do it. Prabhupada created a society and he created temple life so that we could avoid that as much as possible. But even the preacher goes out from the temple. If he can go out with a purpose, that I'm going out, but I'm not going to purchase the things that they're selling. I'm really not going to listen to their music and their talk. I'm going out for another purpose, for Krishna's work. And if these things do come around me, I will pray to Krishna that I not be contaminated by them. Now, but the fact is, as you're saying, throughout the day, the more you keep hearing it, and the more you keep associating with the non-devotees, it dampens your experience, or we can say, it wears you down. So therefore, you have to, before you go out, you have to build up a strong reserve of peacefulness and purity. That's the morning program. And then when the day is near the end, and when you're really tired of all that, when it's getting night, a demoniac hour of increased Kali Yuga, you come back to some peaceful place in your home where your wife is a devotee and your children are devotees, your friends are devotees, or you come to the temple. So morning and evening are sanctuaries, and then you have enough strength to, if you have to go out. And when you do go out for Krishna's purpose, go out with the chanting of Hare Krishna on your lips or in your mind, and that will protect you. Prabhupada was aware of this. He described how long ago, thousands of years ago, as described in the narration of Ajamil, Ajamil saw a naked, half-naked man and woman embracing, and this agitated his mind so that he gave up his whole spiritual life. So Prabhupada said, thousands of years ago, that was very rare that one would see a drunken man and woman embracing. But nowadays, it's a common sight. So how will a brahmachari be protected? Prabhupada says he can protect himself if he sincerely chants Hare Krishna, otherwise there's no protection. This is a kind of armor that we wear in this world, that we chant the holy name, and we go out on Krishna's business. So if I go into the Kali Yuga atmosphere, not with a sense of some mission for Krishna, then what am I doing there? I'll get caught up. And if I haven't learned how to call to Krishna through his holy name, then I'll be vulnerable to the attacks. And if I don't have a shelter to come back to after that exposure, then I'll be lost. A devotee is supposed to be fearless, but it's not wrong to have a fear of that maya, fear of the contact of too much maya.